Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. Brother Seth was talking about the voice. If he'd get a man's voice, he wouldn't have to worry about it. It's those female hormone pills he takes every day. But anyway, it is certainly good to be here. Take your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Thank you, Brother Bell, for the music. I certainly enjoyed training you. You're a student that has really shown me well. I appreciate that. He traveled with Brother Taft, and Brother Taft ruined him. And so he had to get out of Brother Taft's ministry and get under another ministry. Amen. But anyway, 1 Kings chapter 11. Let's all stand as we read the Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. You'll notice in verse 4, there's a phrase. I was reading my Bible one day that jumped out at me. It says, when Solomon was old, that's when his wives turned his heart after other gods. Let me read one other verse to you without you turning to it. I'm sure you know it very well. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. I'll find it here eventually. I'm supposed to have it paper marked. Here it is. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I want to speak to you for the next few minutes on this subject. I plan on staying a fundamentalist. I plan on staying a fundamentalist. Father, help me to help some men in here to understand the importance of what I want to talk about. May you salvage some ministries 20, 30, even 40 years down the road in this service right now. Use me, I pray, in a very special way. May we walk out of here different because of what we've heard. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I am a fundamental Baptist. I have no quarrels about being called a fundamentalist. I don't try to run from it. Someone says you're a fundamentalist, I say thank you. Proud to be that. I don't try to cover up what I am. I don't try to water it down. Everybody that's been around Alan Domley knows I'm not afraid to let people know what I am. And by the way, you should be the same way. I'm the type of fundamentalist that believes in confrontational soul winning. I still believe that confrontational soul winning is the answer for this world. I don't believe in lifestyle evangelism. I think you ought to live a life that you're, when you go out and go soul winning, I think you ought to live the right life, but I still believe in confrontational soul winning. I'm against this idea of, well, let's not force our beliefs on others. I'm not forcing on anybody. I'm giving them a choice, but somebody's got to let them know. I'm the type of fundamentalist that believes in red-hot preaching. I love red-hot preaching. My favorite preaching is by the time I walk out, I have to go to the emergency room to get a bandage on my face, get some crutches because my feet have been stepped on quite a few times. I like red-hot preaching. I like the type of preaching that's loud. I like the type of preaching when the preacher stands up, his veins pop out a little bit, his face turns red a little bit. I like the type of preaching where the preacher gets up and just says, "Thus saith the Lord God." Doesn't worry what everybody else says. He's just going to say what God has told him to say out of this book right here. I am a fundamentalist. I'm the type of fundamentalist that believes in separation from the world. I get worried about our Baptists who are trying to move closer to the world. I've got news for you. God's always stood in the same spot since the beginning of time. He hasn't moved closer to the world. You say, well, it's just a different way to try to reach the world. I don't care if it is a different way. If it's not God's way, it's not the right way. I'm going to do what's right. I like what Brother House said. I'm going to stand for right. If people go to hell because I stand for right, then I want to stand for right. But it's about time we understand that we ought to believe in separation from the world. I believe in the old time hymns. I like the type of hymns that you don't have to listen. I like the type of songs that when you listen to it, you say, that's Christian music. I didn't have to this morning when Brother Bell was singing. I didn't have to scratch my head and wonder. I wonder if that's an old-fashioned hymn or if that's rock music. Thank God when he stood here and sung that hymn, we all knew what he was singing about. It all lifted our hearts and talked about a God and said about some sensual feeling that we had. And by the time he's done, we guess he's talking about God. I'm simply saying I'm the type of fundamentalist that believes in the old-time hymns. I'm the type of fundamentalist that believes that men ought to look like men and women ought to look like ladies. I'm the type of fundamentalist that men ought to have short hair. I like tapered haircuts. I'm not a block haircut type of guy. I like the tapered haircuts. I want you walking down the street. I want to be able to look from the backside and say, there's a man right there. I'm against guys having perms. I'm against guys walking out there and trying to get look like the ladies. I'm for men looking like men. I'm also for ladies looking like ladies. I think it's about time ladies stop trying to dress as close as they can to the men, and they ought to look like a lady. They ought to walk down the street. I thank God for First Baptist Church. I thank God for Howells Henderson College. You can walk all over Hammond, Indiana, and Crown Point, and you can see a lady in a dress and say, that's a lady right there. And bless God, I love the type of fundamentalists that just believe that ladies ought to look like ladies. I get tired of going to churches, seeing women come to church, and you can't tell if it's a man or a female. Or the truth is, I'm simply saying, it's about time ladies look like ladies, and men look like men. Men talk like men. Ladies talk like ladies. I'm just an old-fashioned fundamentalist. That's what I am. I'm the type of fundamentalist that believes in men leading them home. I could care less what former President Carter said when he said that, well, God really didn't mean what he said, that the woman ought to submit. I've got news for you. God meant it. I got news for you. Men still ought to lead. I got news for you, ladies. Stop being bossy and learn how to be a lady again. And some of you men ought to take the lace off your underwear. Learn how to stand up again and be a man. I'm just for men leading in society again. I'm tired of the TV programs that make it look like a man doesn't know how to make a decision. They make it look like a man is just kind of weak-kneed type of guy, that he just kind of bumbles around life. I'm for the type of man that knows how to make decisions and shall stand by myself if I have to, but I will stand if I have to all by myself, because I'm just that type of fundamentalist. I'm the type of fundamentalist that believes in keeping Baptist on the sign. I am a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of it. I was born Baptist. I am a Baptist, and I plan on dying Baptist. I'm tired of churches taking Baptists off the sign and saying, well, we still have Baptist doctrine. And if you have Baptist doctrine, they keep Baptists on the sign. I'm not, listen to me, I'm not saying people are bad people. I'm just simply saying, about time you tell everybody what you are. When Brother Vogel was in the Marines, he was proud to wear a Marine uniform. And it's about time some Baptists be proud to be a Baptist again. Hey, we weren't the one that took on that name. They gave it to us, and about time some Baptists get excited again. And I am an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist. That's what I am. I'm the type of fundamentalist that believes in the local church.
I'm not for universal church. I'm not for cell groups. I'm not for Bible studies. I'm for the local church. You say, well, we can learn more in a Bible study at a house. Well, Bible says that God died for the church, not the local Bible study. You listen to me. Some of you guys, you're going to graduate, you're going to get out there, you're going to listen to some liberal that has, you think has a better idea than what this book has right here. It's about time we just decide the local church is what Jesus Christ died for. Hey, they want to learn the Bible? Okay, let me tell you how they learn the Bible. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's how they learn the Bible. Send them out soul winning. Get them on a bus route. Hey, that's the best way to learn about the Bible. Some of you men ought to learn how to say amen a little bit. Some of you guys haven't said amen one time and you know what I'm talking about. I'm the type of fundamentalist that believes in amens in church services. I was out in Bakersfield, California last night. I flew all night to get here. I was talking to Brother Joe Grande, graduate from Hiles Anderson College. He said to me, he said, Brother Dom, he said, you know what I'm disturbed about? I said, what is it? He said, I can remember when I was younger, when I went to Hiles Anderson College and we'd go to meetings and conferences. He says, Baptists shouted quite a bit back then. He says, now you go to the average Baptist meeting, everybody's afraid because they may mess up their suit a little bit. They may mess up their hair a little bit. They don't say amen anymore. I'm simply saying it's about time Baptists get their shout back and learn to say amen again. Stop sitting there like a bump on a log and learn how to say amen and stand up and say, hey, there's something worth shouting about. Why? Because I am a fundamentalist. I'm the type of fundamentalist that believes in altar calls. I'm not for making decisions in the seats. I'm for making decisions out at the altar. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. When we left the altar, America began to leave God. It's about time we get back to the altar. Brother Hooker, you know, you preach many a camp. It's like pulling tea, trying to get people to walk down an aisle anymore because they're so used to going to some church somewhere. Well, I don't want to put pressure on them. I got news for you. I am a fundamental Baptist, and I will put pressure on you to walk down an aisle. I'm the type of fundamentalist that but still believes in the King James Bible. I hate change. I mean, I hate change. I don't believe in changing our hymns for a praise and worship service. I'm tired of praise and worship song books instead of hymn books. Well, it's a new age. I don't care if it is a new age. The old song's still good. I like songs like Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I like Would You Be Free from the Burden of Sin. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Would Your Evil a Victory Win? Hey, there's wonderful power in the blood. That's the kind of songs I like. And I rebel against the change of leaving the hymn book for this praise and worship service. Hey, I'm not a charismatic. I am a Baptist. It's about time we start singing like Baptists. I don't believe in changes. Changing our way, our methods of doing things just to draw a bigger crowd. Listen to me very carefully. If all I have is a handful of people, but I stand for right, you listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, I'll stand for right, have a handful of people. Hey, it's about time we gotta understand, you don't change your method just to get a crowd. You stick to the same old method that we learned from those years ago. If it's popular, it's popular. If it's not, it's not, but it's still, it's always right. We have these little words, what do they call them? I'm trying to think. They have these little buzzwords that you use. You don't want to offend people. I don't want them to get too offended. I want the type of preaching that'll get them either mad and down the aisle or they'll sit there and enjoy it and say, hey, something ought to move them somewhere. I don't believe in changing preaching services for dramas and movies. I believe you ought to have preachers and not teachers. God never said it's through the foolishness of teaching that you change a nation. It's through the foolishness of preaching that you change a nation. Hey, I'm simply saying, stop worrying about bringing up the little screen and having the little overhead here so you can preach for that. Just get a Bible out, stand up and preach and sweat and give them the Word of God. That's what you need. Listen. I'm not going to change the way I dress. I don't change what I eat. My father-in-law knows me. I go to McDonald's, order the same thing. I don't have to look at a menu. All right, no, I'm going to get every time I go to McDonald's. And those who don't go to McDonald's, you're not right with God. Isn't that right, Brother Test? That's why we're brothers. We both believe the golden arches are the way to heaven. But anyway. Hey, you're looking at something that just doesn't change too much. If I find something works, I want to keep it because it works. Because I just believe in the old-fashioned way because I am a fundamentalist. But, hold on. That's all introduction. Here comes the sermon. If I'm not careful, I will change what I am if I have the wrong associations and the wrong friends. Oh, you can stand up and shout and glory to God. Boy, Brother Don, that's right. But you're not, listen to me. 20 years down the road, I want to see you doing the same thing. 20 years down the road, I want to see you still believing in the bus route. After you've buried 2 and 3 and 4 grandkids like Dr. Kelly, I want to see you still on a bus route bringing kids to church and letting them know there's a Savior that loves them, a Savior that wants them in heaven. You just keep shouting it. If you're not careful, your associations will get you away from that. You see, the Bible says when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. It wasn't when he was young. You know why? Because when you're young, you got a lot of fight in you. When you're young, you got some energy. That's why I worry about some of you preacher boys in here. You ain't have enough fight in you to stand right now. Buddy, if you can't stand right now, what are you going to do about 30 years from now? Some of you guys, you've done plucked the hair off your chest. About time you grow up back, be a man again, and learn how to stand up and stand on your own 2 feet against the convictions right now while you're young. Solomon had no problem with his associations while he was young because he knew how to fight. He could stand up to when he's young because he had the energy. He had the zeal. He had the fire. But his problem was, he kept those associations around him. And when he got old and tired of fighting, when he got old and said, man, I just fought a lot of battles, I'm just tired of this now, he gave in. Why? Because when you're old, you lose the desire to get in a battle anymore because you've already fought quite a few of them. How many times did you hear Brother Hyle say when he was getting older, I don't like fighting? How many times did you hear Brother Hyle say when he had stand, he says, listen, he said, I don't want to fight. Hey, I got news for you. Brother Hyle and his old man didn't choose the fights. They chose him. God threw him in the battle. I think God throwing Brother Hiles in the battle, even though he's a principled man, I think he'd have stayed by his principles, but God throwing him in the battle is what kept him going the way that we remember him, because when he was old, he didn't choose the battles came to him. I'm just simply saying, hey, you better decide right now while you're young that, hey, I want to get some right associations, because if I don't, if I'm not careful, when I become an old man, I'll leave what I said I was going to do when I'm young. Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You see, I want to choose friends that are going to pull me to the right. Listen to me carefully. I was preaching out in New Mexico for Brother Don Chitty, a good friend of mine. Brother Don Chitty, of course, years ago when I first started evangelism, I preached in the church, and that pastor didn't stand quite where I stand. He called it Brother Chitty because he knew Brother Chitty and I stood the same place. He said, Brother Chitty, he says, I've got the right man for you in your church. He says, you guys are the same. He says, what do you mean? He says, you guys are nuts. I went out and preached for Brother Chitty. Brother Chitty said, don't hold anything back. Be careful when you tell Alan Donnelly, don't hold anything back. I went there and I preached. I was all done. When I was done preaching, he stood up. He said to his people, said, now people, he says, you're wondering if I believe everything Brother Donnelly says. He says, now listen, he says, don't get upset. He says, I'd rather have a man whose standards are higher than mine, because if his standards are higher than mine, he may pull me up to him. But he says, what I'm concerned about is bringing the guy in whose standards are lower than mine, because he says he may pull me down to him. And you listen to me. That's why I want friends that are going to pull me to the right. I want that little salt of righteousness. I want somebody jabbing me over to the right. That's the type of friends I want. I want to choose my friends that will motivate me to do right. I want the type of friends that will motivate me to go soul winning. I want the type of friends that will pressure me to keep my standards. I want the type of friends that will keep the fire of God inside of me. I want to be around friends that will ask me, hey, how did you lead to Christ? I want the type of friends that say, hey, what ministry you work in? I want the type of friends that say, hey, what did you learn from the King James Bible this week? That's the type of friend I want. I want someone that keeps me over here to the right. That's what I desire. In life, that's what I want in life, is somebody that'll keep me over here. Now, if we're not careful, we'll change because of our friends. Listen, you are only as strong as your weakest friend. Whatever your weakest friend is, that's how strong you are spiritually. Now, if I want to stay a fundamentalist, there's some precautions I need to take to stay that way. See, what are they? Glad you asked. One, stop listening to the radio and TV preachers. Turn them off. I said turn them off. I'm not dealing with whether they're good men or bad men. You don't need to listen to them. Hey, get something from that book right there. I think of a young man right now, good young man. He and I were friends, still are. But years ago, if he and I would have stood together and told what we believed in, we'd have both been right down the line. He, for years, has listened to these radio preachers. He works a secular job, and I'd always tell him, say, you know, I say his name is Fred. That's not his name, but I said, Fred. You got to stop listening to those. They're going to ruin you. No, they got some good stuff. He said, I'm throwing away the bad. I said, No, you're not. I said, what goes in does not come. I said, you can't just throw it out. It's like a computer. You're feeding your mind with a bunch of garbage. I said, they may have a few good things, but there's a few drops of poison that they're throwing inside. That's what concerns me. I said, stop listening to them. Today, he goes to liberal church. Goes to church that doesn't even believe in the King James Bible. Why? Listen to radio preachers. Oh, they're smooth. Oh, they sound great. Oh, they got a lot of good stuff. I'm just simply saying, if you're going to stay a fundamentalist, you might as well turn the Christian radio off and start and realize, hey, if they're not in our camp, I'm not going to listen to them. I said, one, stop listening to the radio and TV preachers. Number two, stop reading books by authors that don't believe like us. I said, stop reading books by authors that don't believe like us. Listen, we're nuts. I can handle it. No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. I was preaching out in a certain state out west. This pastor, I preached for him good night 3 or 4 years in a row. I remember the last year I was there preaching for him, he brought me in his office and said, Brother Donnelly, look at this book I'm reading. I looked at it. He showed me some spots in there where it said that confrontational soul winning is not the answer anymore. I stopped him and I said, sir, I said, you better be careful about that book. I said, the best thing for that book is kindling for your fireplace. I said, I know you know about the Bible. I know you believe in confrontational soul winning. I said, if you're not careful, you're going to stop believing in confrontational soul winning because you're reading too many of these books. I said, stop reading them. Well, I'm just trying to figure out what they believe in. Listen, why don't you figure out what God believes in? When's the last time you spent as much time in this book as you have the other secular books out there and these secular authors that don't believe like us? I'm simply saying, read the Bible instead of those books. You'll figure out what to believe in. You ought to read books on marriage by Independent Baptist. You ought to get Brother Hooker's book once you're married. Not until then. You ought to get the Cowling's books on rearing children. Why? They believe like us. I'd rather have a couple that goes soul winning every week, that runs a bus route, that understands this thing of a family working together, serving God together. I'd rather have them telling me how to rear children than to go to some guy that doesn't believe in the bus ministry, doesn't believe in standards, doesn't believe in what we believe. I'm simply saying, throw the other books away. Get back to the Independent Baptist. That's what you ought to read. I don't need purpose-driven church. I need house church manual. Did you hear me? So I don't think you ought to say that in the name of a book. I'm tired of our preachers reading it and changing what we believe in. Why go to a new evangelical who's not a Baptist, who has no quarrels about saying he doesn't believe like us? We read his book. Hey, why don't you read a book by the man who's built the largest independent Baptist church? Hey, why don't you trust that? Oh, I understand. You know more than Brother Hiles. I understand that. I mean, certainly, you've pastored for 41 years the largest church in fundamentalism. I understand that. I said, stop listening to the radio and TV preachers. I said, stop reading books by authors that don't believe like us. Third, don't get your ideas from people that don't believe in the King James Bible. Why go to a charismatic to figure out how to have a church? I got news for you. Hiles Anderson College is a Baptist college. You haven't figured it out yet. Hiles Anderson College is a ministry of First Baptist Church. We're so much trying to copy the charismatics and the non-denominational, it's starting to get to where you can't tell the difference between the Baptist and non-denominational anymore. Listen, you're not looking at somebody that don't know what I'm talking about. I travel this country, I know what I'm talking about. I'm getting very concerned with a lot of our Baptists who aren't willing to stand up and say, I am a Baptist. I'm not going to copy a charismatic. I'm tired of bringing the drums inside of our churches. I'm tired of trying to look like them. Bless God. Hey, let's just look like a Baptist. Merry Christmas. I said, one, stop listening to the radio TV preachers. I said, second, stop reading books by authors that don't believe like us. I said, third, don't get your ideas by people that don't believe in the King James Bible. Fourth, go to the conferences put on by our crowd. Well, I'm going to go incognito. And they're not going to see me. But I'll get some ideas. And I'll come out and I'll be able to tell our crowd something new. So that way my name can become great. One of the biggest problems in Christianity is we're more worried about our name than we are God's name. Anytime you build something on a name, it's going to fall. You build it on Jesus Christ, it'll stand. I wouldn't go to a conference that has questionable men on preaching on the platform. That's why I had a hard time preaching here. Brother Coates was up here. Listen. This also goes for you preaching in those conferences. I've watched many guys graduate from Hiles Anderson College say, no one's going to tell me where to preach. And they're right. They're right. Now they're preaching for Southern Baptist. And they shouted amen like you shout amen right now. Somewhere, you got to decide, I'm a Baptist. I want to preach for those that believe like I do. Number five, don't associate with people that are critical of the methods of preachers from the past. Did you hear me? I said don't associate with people that are critical of methods of preachers from the past. I got news for you. I still like the Rice, Roloff, and Robertson. I still like the Hiles, Dr. Hiles, and his methods. And I am still questionable about men who want to question the methods of those who carry on fundamentalism from the past. I still think that, hey, don't you tear down J. Frank Norris. Don't you tear down men of the past that believe like us. Don't you tear down Beecham Vic. Hey, I'm simply saying, bless God, hey, you lift up the heroes of the past. Our problem is we're bearing the heroes of the past so we can be the hero right now. Stop trying to be the hero and realize that those of the past always continue to point to the past. You check Brother Hiles' ministry out. Check it out. See how many times Brother Hiles pointed to himself. He always, he's been on what I'm talking about. He always reminded us of the men of the past. How many times, Brother Hooker, did we hear Brother Hiles talk about? He says, I'm afraid that when I die, Dr. Rice is going to die. You be careful of the guy that says, well, their methods just don't work in today's world. Shut up. Number six, listen regularly to sermons of the preachers of the past. Every week, I still listen to two sermons from Brother Hiles. You know why? I want to make sure Alan Domley's not moving. I'm not against, there's good men that are young that are still pastoring. They're good men. But I want to hear the old men preach still. I don't want to ever lose the taste of the past because, hey, I want my daughter to grow up someday and see the same fundamentalism that I've seen when I grew up. It amazes me. In my classes, I require you to listen to sermons from Brother Hiles. I think every class ought to. Wouldn't hurt you. And if they don't require it, listen to them anyway. I keep a library of preaching tapes from in the past because I just want to make sure that I'm still a fundamentalist. Because if it was good back then, it's still good now. Truth never changes. I don't care if we live in the millennium age. I've got news for you. The truth that was good back in Jesus' day, the truth that was good before the creation of the world, is still good today. Seven, choose the type of friends that will keep you in check. I don't want friends that will always tell me what I want to hear. I want a friend that every once in a while comes to me and says, Brother Domi, I'm a little concerned for you. That's not popular. I want a friend to say, Brother Domi, I've seen you kind of, I remember years ago you used to preach this way and I've seen you move a little bit. I want a type of friend that says, don't forget what you was. We want everybody to pat us on the back and make it have a feel-good religion. I'm not for feel-good religion. I'm for a constant pulling back to the right. Well, there's a wide chasm between us and the world. Good. The darker the night, the brighter the light. If I was a pastor, I'd hire staff that would keep me in check. They won't always just say yes to me because I want to hear it. If they hear something that maybe my direction is going a bit wrong, I'd want them to come to me privately and say, Brother Donnelly, I'm just a little concerned with this direction right here. Now, I think you ought to be loyal. If you're not loyal, shame on you and get right with God. I want people that are going to keep me in check. Brother Howells used to say, don't stay loyal to institutions, but stay loyal to the principles of the institution. He says the institution changes, then leave the institution, but you keep the principles. So that means you have to stand alone. Stand alone. Stand alone. Aren't you afraid you're not going to have a crowd to preach to? That don't worry me at all. What worries me is there's a little girl, a five-year-old girl, that lives in my house. I'm worried about her growing up, having the same music, same beliefs, the same methods, the same zeal, the same fire that I had when I was growing up. I'm a sixth-generation preacher. Woe is me. I'll water down what all other generations before me gave to me to appease today's world. This sermon is not for many of you for today, but it's for when you graduate, although a lot of these things you can put into work right now. I just plan on staying a fundamentalist.